on the cow side, the thing that really is a great thing is the fact that it gets cows that are not cycling, so anastrous cows. Once they give birth, they have a period of time after they give birth where they're not cycling, they don't come into heat, and that's called postpartum anastrous. By using a seeder, we can shorten that period of time, right? And we will very often get a percentage of cows pregnant on the first day of the breeding season that the day that you started your synchronization protocol, they were not cycling. And if a bull went into that herd, he would never get those cows pregnant until later into the breeding season. So by using the synchronization system, putting semen into those animals, even though they weren't cycling 5 or 6 days ago, they may ovulate and become pregnant. So that allows you to bunch up your calving season.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Data shows most cattle don't get enough vitamin D, which can impact health and performance. High D from DSM Firmenich can help improve cattle's vitamin D status. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit ProEarthAnimalHealth.com today. Control the cortisol surge and control your drug costs on your inbound cattle. Make the 21-day SHOT Show a thing of the past with QFA 2000. Give your cattle platinum protection with Virbac Bovagen Platinum Vaccines. Start your protection at us.virbac.com/platinum protection. Lallemand Animal Nutrition offers microbial solutions to boost animal welfare and performance.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast. I'm Travis Mullenix, and today I'm lucky to have Dr. Cliff Lamb with me. Welcome, Cliff.
Thanks, Travis. Thanks a lot for having me.
Your career has changed a little bit in the last few years, being the department head of Animal Science A&M and now being the director of Ag Research.
Yeah. Obviously, I've spent most of my career working on reproductive efficiency in beef cattle as a faculty member. Spent time at the University of Minnesota and University of Florida. But the last 7 years or so, I've been in administrative roles as department head of animal science. And now over the agency, which in many states is sort of known as the Agricultural Experiment Station, we call it Texas A&M AgriLife Research here. And so I oversee that entity. But at the same time, I still have a research program. I still continue to do research in the space of reproduction and improving beef cattle efficiency.
Yeah, when I think about synchronization and protocols, one of the first people that comes to mind is Cliff Lamb, right? And so you did a tremendous amount of work in Florida, Minnesota, before moving to A&M as department head in that realm of increasing reproductive efficiency of the beef cow herd.
So, I was very fortunate. I sort of came into the space. I've always been a passionate person ever since I was a kid, actually. I really wanted to focus on reproduction. I mean, when I was 12 years old, I learned to AI. I remember being the kid at school that would give a talk and have a picture of a uterus on a cow on the screen or something, and everybody thought I was just a little bit crazy. But so that's always been a passion of mine through graduate school. And the period of time sort of in the late 90s and early 2000s, right, the thing that we figured is that the adoption of artificial insemination is never going to increase until we develop a protocol that reduces labor and reduces the hassle factors associated with AI, right? And so we aggressively in the late 90s obviously started working with these products that we could sort of combine to develop fixed-timed AI protocols. And so sort of in that 98-99 timeframe, the CEDAR wasn't approved, but we were working on getting it approved in the U.S. at the time. But we started by, you might think back to, or many folks might remember Synchromate B, the ear implant, is what does exactly what the CEDAR does, right? And so we preemptively started developing these fixed timed AI programs using just the implant part of the Synchromate B system, and then using other hormones to create fixed timed AI systems. So really the first fixed timed AI system for beef cattle, we probably developed in 98, 99. And so in 2003, the CEDAR was approved, and then it sort of allowed us to go onto beef cattle operations, allow a beef producer then to AI cattle in mass, right? So synchronize all of the cows, eliminate heat detection or reduce the amount of heat detection and sorting cattle and things like that. And so many folks who might be listening might know the COSYNC plus CEDA protocol that was developed during that time frame, that 2001 to 2003 is when we developed that. And as much work as we've done in this space, we haven't really developed a system that is that simple, that gives us significantly greater pregnancy rates, right? So reduce the number of handlings to 3 times and then be done.
Yeah, but it, like you said, with the CEDAR, it's still relatively new, right? It's just 20 years on the market. And think about from a technology standpoint, if it has tremendous impact. But a lot of this stuff is still relatively new to our markets. And unfortunately, the adoption rates of some of this is still not where you'd like to see them. I guess touch on some of the benefits that your research has shown of just either synchronizing a natural service or using AI with that synchronization.
I think when people think about artificial insemination, they tend to think of it more as a way to improve genetic improvement of the herd, right? But from our standpoint, and especially in the temperate regions of the U.S., you know, the work that we have done actually would probably show that incorporating some type of system that utilizes a progestin like a CEDAR or MGA in either heifers or cows, the greatest impact is the reproductive management effects it has on the herd, probably more so than the genetic influence, right? Obviously, there is the opportunity to improve genetics by AIing them with semen from superior bulls and so on. And we get that. But let me talk through the things that the synchronization actually does to the herd, especially using a progestin. So when you're using a progestin like MGA or a CEDAR, you get to stimulate animals to cycle that we're not going to cycle had you not used those. And so from a heifer development standpoint, utilizing an MGA or a CEDAR-based system prior to the start of the breeding season, you get more heifers pregnant on the first day of the breeding season or within the first 5 days of the breeding season. And then you retain those animals. They stay in the herd longer. And there has been a ton of work to show those animals pregnant in the first cycle of the breeding season, as heifers, will last in the herd longer for the next 10 years, right? And so the impact of those progestins in the synchronization system stimulating those animals allows those animals to stay in the herd longer. On the cow side, the thing that really is a great thing is the fact that it gets cows that are not cycling, so anestrous cows. Once they give birth, they have a period of time after they give birth where they're not cycling, they don't come into heat, and that's called postpartum anestrous. By using a CEDAR, we can shorten that period of time, right? And we will very often get a percentage of cows pregnant on the first day of the breeding season that the day that you started your synchronization protocol, they were not cycling. And if a bull went into that herd, he would never get those cows pregnant until later into the breeding season. So by using the synchronization system, putting semen into those animals, even though they weren't cycling 5 or 6 days ago, they may ovulate and become pregnant. So that allows you to bunch up your calving season, right? So what you can do over a period of time, over a period of several years. And I can give an example of that this in a minute, but you bunch up your calving season to, let's say you're calving over 90 days, right? Over a period of a couple of years, just by synchronizing, you can reduce your calving season to less than 60 days, right?
Right.
And so that results in multiple advantages down the road, right? Obviously, shorter calving season, it's greater for a lot of management in the herd. But in addition to that, you have a more uniform calf crop. It increases value of the calves at weaning. There's so many things that just doing that has a positive impact and bottom line. And when you think of cattle prices right now, boy, just an extra 10 days average age of those calves at weaning is going to be significant to the bottom line. And so those are the advantages of synchronization that very often people don't realize is why we really want to do it, is we want to synchronize, not just to put semen in the cows, but to really change the reproductive efficiency and the efficiency of the whole herd.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, the biggest benefit of synchronization is that calving interval, right? And, you know, decreasing your that distribution and increasing that weight of that calf that we're weaning. You know, you said decreasing by 10 days, that's at least 20 pounds of calf weaning weight. And in today's market, that's a lot of money. And so, you know, for a lot of producers, an easy, simple synchronization strategy, it doesn't have to be AI. It can be a natural service, has a massive economic benefit.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you bring up a good point. The most underutilized synchronization system is a system in which you synchronize your cows for bulls to breed, right? And that's very often a first step, right? Not everybody has to start by AIing. It's the most underutilized synchronization system out there is to synchronize the cows so that the bulls can breed them earlier in the breeding season. You bring up a great point there. So underutilized by so many producers.
So why do you feel like, and I don't know if this is accurate anymore, but I've always used about 20% of the herds in the United States use some kind of synchronization AI. And that may have increased in the last 5-10 years. But why do you think the lack of adoption? We have some great technologies. And why is there a lack of adoption of these reproductive technologies?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, right? I'll walk back a little bit and talk about the late 90s and early 2000s, just to show what has happened in Brazil, and then I'll talk a little bit about what's happened in the U.S. Right? When I've generally spent a lot of time when we started developing these AI systems, spent some time. Introducing them around the world also. And when we went to Brazil for the first time in the early 2000s, there were less than 1 million cows being artificially inseminated, beef cows being artificially inseminated. But once we introduced fixed-timed AI systems, this year alone, there's going to be 18 million cows, beef cows, inseminated by fixed-timed AI, right? And so you think about that, 18 million cows is more than half the U.S. beef cow population, right? So they've adopted the technology. A couple of reasons why they've adopted the technology. One is because of what we talked about earlier, is the improvement in reproductive management, being able to keep a short calving season. The other reason is that very often the people making the decision are not the same people who are doing the work, right? In Brazil, a lot of very large operations, businessmen that are out there trying to understand how to improve the bottom line. In the U.S., we tend to have a lot of really small operations, and then there's some larger operations, right? But the producers here are also the same people that have to do the work. And so when it comes to the hassle factors, right, of running the cattle through the chute 3 times around the time of a breeding season, they may have a cropping system where they're trying to get in there and plant at the same time. There's so many different things. They have to be veterinarians, electricians, mechanics, all of those at the same time. And sometimes having to handle those animals on an extensive operation, right? Those cows might be running around in several hundred acres. Being able to gather them and then treat them and synchronize them, I think are probably the reasons that we sort of have a limited number of a limited percentage of producers that actually end up artificially inseminating. And you gave the number of 20%, right? I would be surprised if it is that high. I mean, I do think you know that might be any type of reproductive management program. I'm not sure that we AI or synchronize 20% of the cow herd or the heifers and cows.
Yeah, and then so much is that labor impact of you've got increased labor, increased time, and facilities of, you know, a lot of these cows sometimes are pretty remote, extensive environments, and getting gather on multiple times. And, you know, even if it's a, you know, 7-day co-sync, you've got multiple gathers, multiple running through the chutes. And so they don't see that as a benefit to them.
That's exactly right. And every time you gather them, right, you have to separate cows and calves, right?
Right.
And so you run into potential issues there, not only just with labor, but with, when you're having to gather these cows and calves three times over a very short period of time, separate them. So the point you made about having great working facilities and good labor are reasons why folks do not use it. The other thing that happens, though, that I and we trying to figure out sort of how to AI and get good results, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people will initiate it. They may do it for a year and go, geez, that's a lot of work. And then the next year during the calving season, they don't see the benefit or they don't get the pregnancy rates that they want and they give up right away. We've followed herds for 8 years and 9 years, right? And what we've figured out is if you can stick with an AI program for a minimum of 3 years, that's when you really start to see the true impact of the synchronization in AI. And so very often, right, I mean, your very first year, it ends up, you learn a lot of what you can and can't do. The cattle learn a lot about how to run through the facilities. And then the pregnancy rates generally are not as good as they are 3 and 4 years later, right? And so if you can say, okay, look what we've learned, look how we've managed to handle it, these are the things we'll improve in year two, you make improvements and you continue to make improvements, then over that period of time, you're gradually decreasing the breeding season, you're gradually decreasing the calving season, and then all of a sudden it just becomes part of the management system, right? And so the attitudes change and everything changes. So, but it does take at least 3 years for folks to truly see the benefits.
Yeah, it sometimes gets hard to get that true buy-in too because of that. And so that is a challenge. And the other challenge is, unlike some industries, it takes so long for us to get good data if we actually record good data. And so they don't always see the true benefit because maybe they're not collecting what the data they need to collect, or they're not recording it and they don't see the benefit of that increased in birth weight. They don't know which calves these are, maybe. And so they may not be collecting the data they need to actually say this was a benefit or it wasn't.
You're right. I mean, it all comes back to data, right? And I mean, the whole industry is getting better slowly, but we've got a long way to go. But collecting the data, not just in terms of the pregnancy rates and what happens on your operation, but being able to get the data upstream, right, in the supply chain. If you can get carcass data back, or you can get feedlot performance data back, that helps you make a lot of these decisions, and it makes those decisions easier.
And for some people that are new to it, it's a scary thought of, this is new, I've never AI'd. And so what would you tell that producer that wants to get into synchronization AIing of, you know, who to contact, who do they need to work with to help them achieve good results?
Really, what I tell people that have never done it before, right, is it's not a bad idea to take an AI class, right, to understand what is going on. But the first time that you're going to do it, you're going to synchronize cows, make sure that you're doing it in partnership with an AI technician, right? And almost any of the major breed, not breed, but genetics companies. So you can, whether it's Select Sires, ABS, Sexing Technologies, Alter, whoever it is, they all have field forces out there. But you're welcome to contact sort of contact any of us, right? If you need more information on where to find those resources. There's also independent representatives that do a lot of this work. I tell people the first time you're doing it, regardless of whether you just went to an AI school or it's been 20 years since you went to an AI school, get somebody in there to come in and mass mate everything at the same time, somebody that does this for a living, because they will provide some tips and things that'll make things go smoother the next time you do it. And then you AI a few of them, and then the next time you might be in a position you can AI more and more. But it'll be a far more rewarding experience by having a professional come in and do it. And it's really not that much more expensive.
And that they will bring or can bring other facilities to help with that, you know, with a breeding box, et cetera, that especially some of these bull stud companies will have that with their reps that really helps with that flow and getting a number of cows bred quickly.
Yeah, there's no question, right? And the other thing that many of them do is they store semen, right? So you do not have to own a semen tank. You can order the semen, they can store it for you, and you don't have to worry about the semen being stored somewhere else. Yeah. So those are all things that I recommend folks do. I do recommend taking an AI class if you want to be involved, not because you need to AI everything, but because you want to, because you understand then the process, and an AI class will help with that.
It's not only the process, and you probably have gotten a lot of these calls, is what drugs to use when. And so many times producers mess up and they give GnRH when they should have gave prostaglandin and vice versa. And it's the understanding that complete process, right?
No question. That's a great point, right? You know, since about 2008, I have tracked every email or phone call that I have got associated with AI questions. I have a database of about 2,000 questions, and I would say 80% of the questions that we get, it seems to be fire engine emergency. We ran the cows through the chute and we meant to give this drug and we gave that drug, or we had a or we had a storm come through or a hurricane come through and we had to leave the cedars in for an extra 2 days and things like that. It's got to do with drugs. So you're right. I mean, having a better understanding about things that you can do like that actually helps out. You know, the one thing, many people might know of the 7-7 sync right now. The idea of that came about in terms of recommendations that I was making when somebody gave the incorrect injection at the front. That's how all of the work started initially in that space years ago, because we were having to leave a cedar in for 14 days because somebody had made a mistake. And so, yes, so it actually ends up creating some good things that come out of mistakes.
It's not always lost when you gave the wrong shot or left cedar in.
That's exactly right. You know, the other thing that I think is really important for folks to understand is having realistic expectations out of the protocols or out of the AI and reproductive management plan. Very often, you know, when you mass mate every cow in the herd, right, on the very first day of the breeding season, you will give more than half of your, you'll give every cow a chance to become pregnant, but you will get more than half of those cows pregnant. Mm-hmm. Very often we will hear from folks to say, well, I only got 50 or 55% of my cows pregnant and my bull does a better job. But your bull is only mating cows that he notes come into heat, right? If we AI a cow that is in heat at the right time with a technician that knows what they're doing, we get the same pregnancy rates as a bull gets. So make sure that when you're evaluating the success of the program, you're not evaluating it based on pregnancy rates to AI. Evaluate it based on your calving distribution, because that's the true evaluation of the success of your program. It isn't what percentage you got pregnant to AI versus what the bull would do.
Yeah, the goal is to get cows pregnant as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes we forget that, of unless there is a goal with the AI of some kind of genetic enhancement, right? And that's a different story. For most cow-calf guys, it's can I get cows pregnant as soon as possible?
Yeah, 95% of folks who are using AI, I mean, you'll lose more money by every extra day a cow is not pregnant, more money than you will by getting low pregnancy rates to AI. But there is going to be situations, right, where you want to make sure that that cow is in heat when you stick semen into her, because the semen is valuable, or there isn't, it costs a lot more, or there's no more of that bull available. Mm-hmm. There are some reasons. You may be using sex semen.
Right.
And when we use sex semen, it just doesn't last as long in the uterus. So there are strategies for using sex semen too that would be different than we would with conventional semen.
So to wrap us up, is there anything that you want to touch on that we didn't discuss?
I think as we talked from right at the beginning, it's a very underutilized technology and can continue to be utilized. But I do think it's really important for producers to know that there is a significant shift right now in new technologies that are coming, and they should be very aware and be very mindful of what is coming in the future, right? Obviously, using AI as a reproductive management tool is great, and it's a first step. But, you know, the increase in vitro fertilization transplanted embryos, that is increasing significantly. You're going to hear a lot more about gene editing. There are these technologies that are coming, sort of the next wave, a generation of technologies that are out there. And don't discount them as not for you. Just keep your eyes open for opportunities that might make your operation more successful.
It's time for our famous three. For over 60 years, bioMérieux has been a world leader in diagnostics, now revolutionizing the beef and meat industry with augmented diagnostics, addressing critical challenges such as food safety risks and recalls, production costs and waste, as well as environmental and consumer concerns. bioMérieux offers a fresh approach that goes beyond test results. Their unique portfolio of microbiology testing, genomics, data solutions, and expert insights help with pathogen detection, enumeration, and root cause analyses. By providing improved risk anticipation and comprehensive data, bioMérieux empowers beef processors to confidently navigate today's complexities.
So we've got three questions to end this. And the first one is, what is your go-to highly recommended beef website, book, resource that you recommend the audience utilizing?
I think this has probably come up before, but I recommend when I get phone calls as a resource, the first place I tell them to go to is the Beef Reproduction Task Force website. That's beefrepro.com, I believe. And you just log in there. And the reason I recommend it is that we all contribute to that, right? And so you're getting resources and it's the latest information. So that is what I would recommend.
Yeah, it's a tremendous resource, plus with the calendar that you can download to help with that synchronization is important.
That's right.
So what is a non-ag book that you highly recommend someone reading?
I do speak to a lot of folks about trying to make sure that you can operate more efficiently and better. The most recent book, the author, his name is David Horsager, and David focuses on trust.
Yes.
And to me, a lot of the things that we talk about, especially in the agency I oversee, is trust, right? But I think that there are so many opportunities in individuals. It can make it makes things better, both on the productivity side of any operation, any organization, but it also has a huge impact on your personal life, whether it's your marriage, your relationship, things like that. And he talks about how trust is the number one thing and how to build trust and how you continue to work on trust. And I think I would recommend anybody out there read that book.
Is it Trust Edge is the name of, or is that his leadership program?
That's the Leadership Institute, yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's a great resource for people to look into. Lastly, in your opinion, what sets apart a successful beef professional from someone that isn't?
When we take a look at those operations that are most successful, especially when it pertains to reproductive efficiency, right? They tend to adopt technology, but not just for the sake of adopting technology because everybody does it. There is an intention, right? And so they go about it in a methodical way, and they stick to their goals with the end in mind, right? So be very careful those individuals that want to just follow what the neighbor does or wants to follow because some salesman says it's a good idea. Make sure that you are looking at the end in mind before you consider anything, right? And so that's my recommendation. Those operations that are very successful, look at the end in mind and everything that they do. They don't make rash decisions. They're constantly improving, but it's everything is to change the end point.
No, it's extremely important. There's no silver bullets, and it's you know, what is the objective and what is the biggest need that this can fill for my ranch or operation?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Cliff, thanks again for jumping on. Really enjoyed it. A lot of good stuff here for producers on synchronization and AI.
Yeah. Thanks very much. You take care.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.